Good morning, good morning. How are you? Awesome. Well, I just want to thank you so much for allowing me to come here and be with you and speak with you. Now, most of you got to meet my wife and my three little boys here, but I'm super happy to have my three daughters here. Also, my oldest son, he's in Vancouver, so he's unable to be with us. But yeah, I'm going to make you do it, girls. I'm sorry. They're going to be mad at me afterwards, but that's okay. Can you guys stand up? Oh, my oldest is looking me at some eye right now. So I'm so blessed to have almost 90% of my family here with me. But God has been good to us, and we are so excited to come here and speak with you and be a part of you and just to see what God has in store for us, because we know that God has something great for this place. And if it's God's will for us to be a part of that, we're so excited for it. But we're just looking to see what God is going to be doing in this place. So today, I want to speak with you a bit about seasons. Now, we're in the summer season, and I love summer, but even more than me loving summer, my wife absolutely loves summer. Summer is her month or her season of the year that she just cannot get enough of. Now, for a long time, I thought that summer was my season, that I love summer, but then I realized that I have small children, and summer means that they're not in school. And summer means that they are at home with us more than we may like. No, they're good guys. But so I've found that for me, my favorite season of life is now fall, because I get to see them go back to school. But so I just want to dive in here. But before I start, as Claudio said, we can't get enough prayer. So before we begin, if we could just take a minute to bow our heads and pray, that'd be fantastic. Heavenly Father God, I thank you so much for what you have in this place. I thank you that your presence is in this building. I thank you for the worship that was sung out in glory and honor to you and to you alone. So I pray that as we dive into your word and we come to understand you better, that you open up our hearts and our minds and that you help us see what you would have for us. And I pray that no word that is said here today has anything to do with any one person, Father God, but it is you speaking to the hearts of man, because you do want to speak to us and you want to commune with us. So I thank you for the ability to come into your presence and for you to speak to us, because you have torn that veil and we can now come into your presence with holy reverence and grace. So we thank you in your name. Amen. Amen. So as I was preparing, I was really praying and saying, God, what is it that you would have to speak? Because as I stand before any congregation, I never want it to be me. I never want it to be something that I want to say to you. But I want it to be something that God wants to use me to speak to you. So I prayed and I prayed, and there was a couple different ideas that were rolling through my head. And I was like, God, what is it that you have for this church? And I kept landing on seasons and the seasons of life that we go through. And God really clarified it to me as I was texting with Tim last week. And Tim was saying that, you know, hey, the church isn't meeting in the space last week. And he said, you know what, I really feel like God is taking this church and moving it into a new season. And right when he said that, I said, Tim, you have no idea what it is that you're saying. And I said, I can't say too much to you now because it's something that God is speaking to my heart. But I truly believe that God is moving this church and these people and my family, whether it be here or not, but we're moving into a new season. And I want to speak to you a little about the seasons of life. There you go. Oh, good. I have one on the back there too. Money. So as I was looking into seasons and going through the scripture, of course, the one that is always going to pop up is going to be Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 8. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can feel free to open them up. You'll notice I have a hanky here. I sweat. And unlike many of you, I do not have hair to stop that sweat from coming down. So if you see me rubbing, it's okay. Yeah, she didn't know I was bald. I'm bald. Right? No, that's okay. And I'm gonna try not to go too long today. As many of you know, my wife and I were in Africa this past, well, I guess just over a month ago now. And the first question that they always ask as I'm going to preach in Africa is, do you want 1 hour or 2 hours? And that's the answer I always give too. Yes, yes, I do. So I'm gonna cut it back. I'm not gonna go for the full 2 hours. It'll only be an hour and a half. So get your potty breaks in now. No. So let's dive into Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 8. It says, "For everything there is a season, a time for everything under the sun, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pick up what has been planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace." Amen. Now, I truly believe that God has seasons in life. And for my wife and I and our family, we've just been going through a season. I feel like it's almost the same season. The season that we have been going through in our family has been slightly mirrored in, from what I know, of the season that you've been going through here as a church. As I mentioned yesterday, that my wife and I are doers. We want to get up. We want to go. When we're sitting idle, my wife right now, she's in between jobs, and I said, "Babe, it's okay. We don't need you to work. We don't need you to go up." But she said, "I can't do that, Jason. I can't just sit." And every day, I'm getting these job postings sent to me. "What do you think of this, Jason? What do you think of this, Jason? What do you think of this?" And I said, "Michelle, we don't need you to work." But she said, "I need to work. My hands cannot be idle." And that's why this season for us has been a difficult time. Because God has said, "Jason, I want you to sit and be still. I want you to sit and listen." For us, I would say that it's a time of winter. Because as we look out through nature, through all of nature, God has a plan and a purpose for every season. Every season that this world sees, there's a reason that it's in place. If you look at the four seasons that we see here in North America, if you look at the spring, spring is categorized by warming temperatures and increased daylight, providing ideal conditions for planting and starting of the growing season. And then we move into summer. The summer, with the longest days and the warmest temperatures, plants experience optimal growth and development. Autumn is marked by decreasing daylight and cooler temperatures, signaling it's the time for the harvest. Amen. Don't we love the time of harvest? I love harvest. I love kids going back to school. And then winter is the coldest season. There's the least daylight, but it's allowing for dormancy and the plants to and the land to find rest. And I know for us and our family, we were looking for rest. Now, when it comes to the actual seasons, there's aspects of every season that I do like. Winter, I love winter because I like to try to snowboard. I'm not going to say I snowboard. I like to try to snowboard. And my butt likes to try to snowboard too as I go down the hill. But for the most part, I'm not crazy about winter. Because I want to be outside, I want to be going. There's just not much you can do. Sometimes it's the time where you have to come back. It's that time of rest. But it's not what I really like. But the beauty is that in all these seasons, and all the things that we go through, we serve a God, we serve a Lord and Savior who's been through it all. He knows all the seasons. He's experienced every season that we possibly can. He embodies the essence of every season. He's experienced joy and sorrow and isolation and community. And he's demonstrated how to navigate through these seasons, because we all know that changing from one season to the next season isn't always an easy thing. That maybe we're in a season that we really like. My wife loves summer. And when it comes into that fall and she doesn't get to get outside and get in the sun, she doesn't get her vitamin D and she gets a little bit cranky. No, she doesn't. But navigating those transitions, and we can see how Christ did this when he was on this earth. When we read the story of Christ's time on this earth, he navigated all of these different seasons. His willingness to meet us in every season illustrates God's desire for relationship and support during all phases of life, offering hope and redemption. God understands every situation that we may face, and he has planned for each and every aspect of our existence. We see constantly throughout his word that in the midst of every situation, that we, when we read into his word, that people can find their the things that they don't know, the unknown. So when we transition and we see these different times in life and these different seasons, all we need to do is look to his word. Because if we're not sure where we're going or what we're doing or what he has planned for us, God isn't a God who says, hey, just go live. There's many people in this world who say, well, I'm agnostic and there could be a God out there. But if there is a God, he doesn't care about us. He doesn't care about what I'm doing on this earth. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're wrong if you believe that. Because we serve a risen Savior who came to this earth and died on that cross, not because he wanted to, because he knew that you needed it. And he cared for you. And he said, when you experience, I want you to know that I've experienced too, that and more. Because we serve a risen Savior who's been through all of it. Now, there's a plan and a purpose in everything that we do. And when God has us to sit and to rest, like he did for my family, and I do believe that that's what God had for this church, from what I know of, you're in a time of rest. And from meeting the few of you that I've got to meet, and I hope that I get to know many of you much, much better, I believe that you guys are like us, that you're doers. That you want to step out and you want to do, and you've been itching, you've been chomping at the bit. I've talked to people like, we're so excited for you to be here. Not just because I'm so good looking, but because this is a signal of a new season. That we get to step in, and we're tired of resting, but God is saying, I want you to rest, I want you to rest. Because when he does send us to go, when he does send you out, it's going to get tiresome. So we need to take those times, those seasons in life, and like I said, it's hard for us. But it's understanding, no, wait a second, God has a plan, God has a purpose. There's a reason. My friends from North Doug, I failed already. I've already started yelling. I said to them, there's two things that I'm going to try not to do that if you get to know me when I preach, there's two things I always do. I yell and I cry. One down. But God is saying, I have a plan, I have a purpose. Whatever season in your life, whether it's in the church or it's in your personal life, maybe there's something going on in your personal life, and you're like, God, I'm tired of dealing with this. And you're praying, say, God, take me out of this season. I don't want to do this anymore. Why is this still happening to me? Why have I not attained this job? Why have I not got these grades? Why have I not got the promotion that I know that I deserve? But when we truly say, God, it's about you, we begin to understand, no, wait a second. There's a reason. There's a reason that this hasn't happened yet. Because God is saying, there's more that I need to do. And maybe in those situations that it's not that God is preparing something for you, but God is preparing something on the outside. God is saying, if I was to move you into this right now, there's other pieces in this puzzle that just aren't ready. And if you move into that right now, there's something you're going to miss. And there's times in life where we step into something and we think, no, God, this is what you want. This is what you want me to do. But God is saying, when you step into this, you're missing out on all the glory and all the presence that I have for the honor of God that you're missing out on. I can say that this happened in our lives a little while ago, that we got antsy. We're like, God, we want to go. We want to go. And we saw an opportunity. Not that it was a bad opportunity. We saw an opportunity. We're going to step into this. Why? Because we're sitting too long. 6 months. How can we sit for 6 months? That's impossible. And we stepped into something. And we found like, no, that wasn't for us. And I know that God used us in that situation. God said, I'm going to bless you. But there's more. there's more blessing, because when we truly fall into the will and the plan and the purpose of God, there's so much more to be had. So God is saying, whatever season of life that you happen to be in, I want you to take time and just stop and say, God, why am I in this season? In Hebrews chapter 11, we read about the saints. And when you read chapter 11 going into chapter 12, it's talking about all the followers of the faith of the Old Testament, who God had made them a promise and said, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to use you for. We see Moses, we see Abraham. God says, this is what I'm going to do. But they never got to see the end. They never got to see the promise fulfilled, because that wasn't their season. That wasn't the season that God had them in. But they held the course. They didn't say, oh, well, wait a second. I feel like this season is over and God hasn't done what he promised yet. So I'm either going to step away or I'm going to step into something else. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 and 40, it says, and all these, speaking of the fathers of the faith, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. God says, I had a plan, and you didn't get to see it, but that's okay. Because then when it goes into chapter 12, it's talking about being surrounded by a gallery of saints. Because they're in heaven saying, this is the work that God started in me. And even though I didn't get to see the end of that season, they're now in heaven saying, we get to see what God had a plan and purpose for. So I want you to take rest assurance that whatever situation you happen to be going through in your life right now, whether it be good, whether it be bad, God has a plan. He has a plan and a purpose for you. And although you may not understand it, though you may not get it, he has the plan. Because one thing that I'll say many, many, many times and everywhere I preach, and I'll say it time and time again, and I think it's something that this generation really needs to know and understand, it's not about you. We read the word of God and say, God, what do you have for me? It's not about you. This word of God is for you, but it is not about you. The situations that's happening in your life, it's not always about you. It's about my God. And my God has a plan in that situation. And because I'm willing to change my perspective and understand that it's not about me, that it's about him, everything changes. The writer D. Michael Martin says, for the people of God, then peace and assurance come not from a full knowledge of the time and seasons, but from the personal knowledge of the God who rules the times and seasons. Because it's about God. He's in control of the seasons. He's in control of your life. And when you're sitting at a good time and you're enjoying life, I want you to take that and enjoy it. God wants to bless you. But he wants those blessings not just for you. He wants those blessings so that you can be a blessing to others. God wants to bless you to be a blessing. If you leave today with nothing other than that, those are the two things that I will say almost every time. It's not about you, and God wants to bless you to be a blessing. And if you're dealing in a difficult time, know that God has a plan. He hasn't forgotten you. But what you need to do is you need to change your perspective. You need to stop looking at the situations and the things of this world. You can go to the next slide. You need to start looking at the world differently. We like to look at the world through our own human eyes. But when we stop and stop looking at it through our eyes and looking at it through God's eyes, our perspective changes. How we see this world is going to change. It's going to change the way you see every situation. That situation that the world looks at you and goes like, wow, that sucks. Man, things are not going well for you. But then you look at it and go, no, but wait a second. God's name is going to be glorified in this. So if I stop looking at it as my own and the things that are happening to me, but saying, God, what are you using me for? Why are you putting me in this situation so that your name can be glorified? Because it's not about you, it's about him. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9, you notice I use a lot of scripture. I'll never apologize for that. Because if I say it, I want you to know that it's not me saying it, it's God saying it. If it comes out of this holy book, it can't be wrong. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts than your thoughts. We serve the God of the universe. He's outside of time. When I first really took that and began to understand that, I guess it was about 4 or 5 years ago, that God really took me on a journey and helped me to see that we serve a God who is outside of time. He's not worried about this moment because he knows this moment and the moment before and the moment after and everything before and after this moment. And because I know that and I trust in that, it changes the way I look at things. Because I go, God, if I put my reliance and my trust in you and in you alone, and you know the beginning and you know the end, why am I worried about this? Why am I telling you, the God of all, that, no, God, this situation isn't right. I should be here. And this person should be here. Why is this person doing this still? You need to change this, God. But God is saying, I need that person in your life right now. You, they may feel like a thorn in your flesh, but maybe God needs to put that thorn in your flesh to get you moving, to get you going. We need to change the way we see this world. And once we begin to change the way we see this world, it changes everything. Colossians 3:2, it says, set your mind on things above and not things on this earth. There's no slides for these. That's okay. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, as we look not at the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are transient, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We serve a God who's not in this world. Or sorry, not of this world. He sees the beginning, he sees the end. So when we change that perspective, we begin to understand that, wait a second, God has a plan in this. And if I just put my full trust in God, then I know it'll work out for his good. It may not work out for my good. I'm not going to be the preacher to tell you, guess what? Life is all roses and flowers and beautiful, and God just wants you to have a Bugatti. Now, he may want me to have that, but it may not be in your future. No. I pray he does, but I'm not going to tell you that life is always going to be good and awesome. But when we look at every situation and say, God, it's about you, then we know that it's all going to turn out. Charles Spurgeon, a fantastic theologian and preacher, he put it this way. Doubt not his grace because of thy tribulation, but believe that he loveth thee as much in the seasons of trouble as in the seasons of happiness. What a serene and quiet life might you lead if you would leave the providing to the God of providence. Which brings me to my next point. You got to embrace the suck. Now, some of you may not know that term. It's a military term. But I think it's something that we as Christians, we need to dive into. So when we say embrace the suck, it means, hey, guess what? Things are going to suck. Things are going to be hard. When you're Navy SEAL, they go through some very hard training where it's not enjoyable. Many people tap out. But they'll keep yelling at you to embrace the suck. Be part of it. Let that get in you. Now, I want you to, like, as you see, or may not see, you may not know this about me, but I like to lift weights. I like to be in the gym, and my wife has now started. She's finally accepted the fact that I kind of know, even my daughters, my wife has especially, finally figured out I kind of know what I'm doing a little bit. And so she's decided to come down to the gym, and I've started training with her. And when she first came down, it was a matter of, this could be good for our marriage, this could be very bad for our marriage. During each session, she has a workout partner that she comes with, and her workout partner kind of looks at her half the time and is like, are you guys sure you're married? You know, but her workout partner is very nice. She's very quiet to me, but with my wife, she's vocal in the fact of her displeasure. Because in the gym, you have to embrace the suck. If you want to get bigger, you want to get stronger, you want to get your body healthier, you have to push yourself. Now, I didn't bring a picture of it, but in my gym, there's a large banner, and some of you heard the name of my gym. It's called Big J's House of Pain. We have shirts and t-shirts made up. It's fantastic. I love it. My daughters did that for me. It was great. But people look at it and go, Big J's House of Pain. Why would you want to go to a gym called House of Pain? Because they know, because anyone who lifts and anyone who knows that when you're in the gym, it hurts. It sucks. When you're going for that last rep and you're going to failure, you don't want to be there. Your muscles hurt. The day afterwards, your muscles are not happy. My kids, because they had to be in the shop with me because that's where my gym is. I decided to put them through a leg workout because they know in our house, what do you not do? You don't skip leg day. And I pray that for all of you. Don't skip leg day. But I decided to put them through a leg workout. And they were hurting. They were noodling and, you know, kind of wobbling around. And I pushed them hard. And people on the outside would look and say, what are you doing to your children? You're putting them in pain. But I understood that little bit of pain later on is going to be pleasure. There's a reason why a lot of people go to CrossFit, and you'll see people in CrossFit where they're going to work out, they're going to push themselves so hard, and they'll be on the floor laying and just like look like they're dying. People go, why on earth would you do that? Well, here's the beauty of how God created our bodies, is that after all that pain, something called endorphins come in. And when you put yourself through that, and you push yourself to the limit, and you work yourself hard, your body rewards you with something called endorphins, which makes you feel really, really good. So you push yourself and you make yourself tired and strained and you feel good afterwards. And I love how the Word of God actually puts this in there. If we look at in Ecclesiastes, if you look at the verses before we read and after we read, this is what it says. He actually mentions this a number of times. In 2 verse 24, it says, there is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw from the hand of God. And if we look at the verses just after that we read, it says in 12:13, it says, I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in his toil. This is a gift. This is God's gift to man. Now, it doesn't make sense. The world looks at that and goes, what are you talking about? It's saying you should find joy and pleasure from toil. Now, the word toil that they use there is amal. And amal denotes strenuous labor that wears the body, but also the moral and emotional burden that weighs the soul. Toil, trouble, misery, grief is effort, oppressive gain. It combines the idea of sweat-producing labor with pain and anxiety. Throw us a wait a second, this is an oxymoron. It must have been written down wrong. But time and time again, we go through Ecclesiastes, which is written by one of the wisest men ever to have lived. He was a king. He didn't have to do any work. He was one of the richest people ever to have lived. He did not have to do any work. But what did he say? What I have found is that hard, strenuous work is what God created you for. When it gets hard, when it gets something you don't want to do, God is saying, I got a plan for you. The things you're going through right now, it's not for nothing. It's not frivolous. You may be going through a difficult time in your life where it seems like things are not going your way. But when you change that, and you look at it and go, it's not about me, it's about God. And God is doing something in my life. Then we understand that toil isn't a bad thing. God created us to work. And I tell you, my wife was amazed. After coming to the gym and working hard and saying choice words to me on many occasions, she's, I'm going to get after this. That's okay. After a few days, she comes back and says, Jay, wow, I feel better than I thought I would. And she came back and did it again. And every workout, her and her friend are like, this sucks. Why are you pushing us so hard, Jason? I can't do another rep. I'm like, you got two more in you. And like, no, I can't. So I, guys, I want you to come to the gym with me. I know I'm making it sound amazing. I'm making it sound like somewhere that you want to be. But she comes afterwards and says, I'm feeling better than I've ever felt. Why? Because God created us to do this. God created us for that strenuous labor. And although we may not like the suck, God is saying, I want you to embrace the suck. And I want you to take it and say, God, what is it that you're doing? Now, the last point, it's all about time. God is saying, there's a time and a season for everything. And although you may feel like that season is done, God may still be working. Or maybe you're in a season where you're like, God, I'm enjoying this. This is my jam. I just want to stay in this forever. It's that new feeling of love. It's like, oh, man, can we just stay on a honeymoon forever? When my wife and I, we like to go to Cancun and just sit on the beach. And we're like, this is it. I just want to stay in this forever. And I'm pretty sure God said yes to that. No, we came home. We have kids. But there's going to be a time that God's going to need you to change. And although things may be looking great in your life right now, you're like, God, this is something, this is a place in life that you meant me to be. I'm going to stay here forever. That may not be what God wants. You may be in a winter and not know it's winter because God is saying, I want you to take rest. And it may be great. You may be a winter person like, this is my jam. But God is going to, there may be a time when God says, it's time to get up, it's time to plant. Because although spring is beautiful, we see the spring flowers, it's a time of labor. It's a time of work. And I don't want to scare you, church, but I do believe that this church was in a time of winter. I do believe that we were in a time of winter. Spring is coming. I do believe that spring is coming. And it's going to be a time to plant. It's going to be a time to step out. And although you've been sitting back, I want you to look and say, God, you've been bolstering me. You've been strengthening me. My muscles are ready. But God's saying, I don't want those muscles just to be show. I want them to be go. God is saying, it's time to step out. It's time to move forward. In Ecclesiastes 3, 9 to 11, verses right after we had just read. What gain has a worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of men to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into the hearts of men. Yet so he cannot find out what God has done from beginning to the end. My computer's flashing at me saying my time is done. Church, we're excited to be here with you. And no matter what happens, I want you to know that God has truly put on this on my heart and God put on Tim's heart. He said, this church is in a time of change. The season is changing. There's a famous saying from a show that I hope none of you have watched, but I'm guessing you have. It says winter is coming. And if any of you look up, then I know you've watched it. And I'll come pray with you afterwards. No. But winter is not coming. Winter is leaving. Because spring is coming. And it's a time to plant. It's a time to get our hands dirty and start going. God has had this church in a waiting period. I know it's felt like, God, what are you doing? God, why don't we have a pastor yet? Thank you so much for the men that you have put in place. But God, we want to go. We're itching to go. And that whole time, God is saying, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. The time is now. It's the time to move. It's time to plant. Planting season is hard. It's hard work. Tilling the soil. Putting the seeds. But when we toil, not in vain, not for our good, but for God's good, those endorphins, those spiritual endorphins come in and we're like, yes, God, I'm doing what you have made me to do. You've called me into this world to be a light to this world, to change this world through him. God is something great. And like I said, no matter what happens for our family, God is, Tim and Claudio, they said, how you feeling? How you doing, Jason? And I said, honestly, guys, I'm just chilled right now. Like, I should feel nervous. I should do all this kind of stuff. But God has given us a peace that, you know what? Whatever happens in this world, my perspective isn't about this. I love you all. It's not about you. It's about my God. God has a plan. He has a plan for your life. It's not just about this church. It's about you. Whatever season of life you may have been going through, may have been good, may have been bad, may have been whatever. But I want you to know that God has a plan for your life. And if you're in this place right now and you don't know God, I want you to know that if you want direction, if you want purpose, if you want to look at your life and say, this is what my life was made for, because that's what all these people in this world are looking for right now. There's something missing. They look it for in the money, in the cars, in the fame, in the recognition. But what they're really looking for is Jesus. So if you don't know Jesus and you're looking for fulfillment, I want you to know that I know where you can find that. And that's in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you do not know him, I want to give you the opportunity to come talk to me afterwards. Because I'd like to tell you about my best friend. Because I do know, I don't believe it, I know it, that he will change your life. But church, thank you so much for allowing me to come speak with you. And I pray that as you walk away from here, that you know that God is taking this church and these and you as a people, as a congregation, into a new season, into a season of spring, of that work, that labor, that God has a plan in that. And you will find joy in that. If you can bow your heads with me.